Well, if we haven't got it across yet, it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Like a birthday, like an anniversary, it's a special day that we set aside to honor and to lift up our moms and our grandmoms and our, in some cases, our great-grandmoms. And also, we want to lift up those women who we were praying for a minute ago who have had a tremendous impact in a child's life but may not be their biological mother. We embrace you in this celebration. We know that for all the care and all the worry and all the anxiety and all the gray hairs that we've put on your head, we know that we wouldn't be here if it weren't for you, and we wouldn't be in large measure who we are today if it weren't for all the love and the nurture and the time and all of yourself that you've poured into us. We're here to appreciate you today and just love on you. As I've grown older, I continually appreciate mothers more and more. But I confess that being a guy, I will never, ever really know what it's like to be a mother or a woman. It's hard to preach sometimes, but I said, when you're preaching, because I can't really get into your soul, into your heart, because there's something very special and different from the way that men look at the world, that women look at them. But sometimes, in His grace, God does give us, especially through His Word, He gives us some insight, and we see common characteristics among His mothers of faith. And I want to share some of those today. Three common characteristics that I've known in women of faith in my own personal life that I have loved and admired and deeply respected. And the Lord brought these characteristics to light as I was reading and I was trying to think of things. I started reading the story of Hannah. And that's where the Lord had kind of brought these characteristics. I said, I know a woman like that. My wife is like that. I got a daughter that does that. And I started to see these things come together. And so I'd like to share these three things as an encouragement to mothers here among us today and as maybe some food for thought and conviction to the rest of us men and husbands and children of any age. Characteristics, the spoiler alert in the title of this message, is that they are mothers of faith, are women of endurance, women of prayer, and women of sacrifice. Let's talk first. I'd like to kind of guide us through the story of Hannah and talk first about women of faith being, mothers of faith being women of endurance. The time frame for Hannah was in a period they call the Judges. Some of us are probably familiar with that. Moses had already led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Joshua had led them into the promised land, but there was not yet a time for kings. God was the king. And it was ruled by men and women who had become what they called judges. Unfortunately, the time was characterized by the phrase, and every man did what was right in his own eyes, which I think is probably gives us some sense of commonality to what we're seeing today. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. However, Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah, who was a very godly man. They were from the Levite clan, which was the priest of the nation. And every year, three times a year, they worshiped God according to the law. They went to Shiloh, which was at that time the center of worship. And three times a year, they went to Shiloh, and they made that trek with the family, and they would go and worship God at Shiloh. And Elkanah loved Hannah very, very much. On the outside, I think everybody probably looked at Hannah the way they look at a lot of women and say, you got it pretty good. You got a godly husband. You're a godly woman. You're worshiping God. And everything on the outside looked good. But our scripture tells us that behind the curtain, Hannah endured for years a deep bitterness in her soul. She had some struggles. One major problem that Hannah had was that Elkanah had another wife named Peninnah. Never a good idea. Never, ever a good idea. That's all I'm going to say on that matter right there. He was asking for trouble to begin with. But while he made it known that he loved Hannah very much, Peninnah was able to give birth to 7 children to Elkanah. And Hannah was able to give birth to Zippo. So every year, when they would go up to worship, Peninnah got really mean-spirited because she was jealous of Elkanah's affection for Hannah. And she would ride her and taunt her and provoke her until Hannah would break down to tears and couldn't eat. And this went on year after year after year. She had to endure this. But a second problem that Hannah had, which is I think you're going to be able to relate to, is that her husband, Elkanah, while he loved her dearly, he just didn't get it. He was clueless. While he would show how much he had affection and how much he loved Hannah more than Peninnah, it only made it worse for Hannah. And to make matters worse, when she would break down and wouldn't eat, Elkanah would go up to her and say, "Why are you crying? Why won't you eat? Aren't I worth more than 10 sons to you?" Now, I'm sorry, but every time I read that passage, my first thought is, are you kidding me? Did you really say that to her? Duh. No, you're not. Right now, she wants a child. She wants to be a mother. And so, she had to endure not just the ridicule and the taunting of this other woman, but she had to she didn't have the support and the empathy of her husband. I think it's quite rare, at least kind of rare, to be able for men, husbands, and children to understand and come into the heart of a mother of faith. I think every woman here who's a mother, every woman here probably who's a wife, has at one time or another felt the isolation of being ignored or being taken for granted or being misunderstood by everyone in the family, sometimes at the same time. But in our defense, mothers, you often do such a good job of nurturing your family and taking care of us that we begin to imagine that the very joy of a wife and mother is to cook and to clean and to make our lives carefree when we're home. So we let you do the cooking and we let you do the cleaning and we let you take us where we want to go. We let you handle the budget. We let you do all kinds of things while we watch TV and putter, play golf, and we go off on our own. Because we begin to imagine that's where you get your joy. And the nice part of it for us is we don't have to, you never ask us to acknowledge you so that we can get all of this, because we don't ever have to acknowledge and say thank you, because you love doing it for us, don't you? It's how you get your joy. I think every mother has had that. And we laugh and we make jokes about how our mothers are misunderstood and taken for granted. But there are times that I've been made aware. I've been confronted and convicted about a woman feeling invisible, feeling like she's lost her life because it's wrapped up in everybody else's life. and feeling that sense of misunderstanding. One Mother's Day, I like this story. One Mother's Day, a woman family said, "You're not cooking today." And they went out and bought KFC. So they brought it home and they were all eating. Now the mother was grateful. She said, "I don't have to cook. That's awesome." But she got the dishes ready. She got all the plates set and everything. And they came in and had a really nice dinner. And after dinner, as was custom, she started collecting the dishes to go out and wash the dishes. And as she started to do it, her son, quite unexpectedly, said, "Mom, no! Not today, Mom. This is your day. You are not going to do dishes today." At which now there was a moment of exultation and joy where the mother said, "Wow, look at this." And it only lasted a second because the son added, "You just let them sit until tomorrow." And at that point, they left her standing there and they all went to watch TV and go do whatever they were going to do. Hannah found her strength. She couldn't lean on her husband. Her nemesis was unrelenting. But she found her strength by keeping a right relationship with God and leaning on Him. And she endured for years, leaning on her relationship with God and bearing it in her own soul. Mothers of faith are women of faithful endurance. Secondly, a mother of faith is a woman of prayer. You know, I think we would all feel justified if we read in the scripture that Hannah finally got to a point one day where she just blew up. She reached the end of her limit and she blew up and went on a nut. We'd all say, "Good for you. You let it out. That's the best thing to do." And maybe there would have been some help in that temporarily, I don't know. But I remember a TV show that I saw recently, and the woman's daughter was very ill, and it was a movie. She came into a church, and she walked very quietly up to the railing in front of the cross. And she looked up at the cross, and you were just kind of waiting. And she pointed her finger at the cross, and she said, "Don't you dare take my child! Don't you dare!" And my first thought was, there's probably 100,000 people watching this movie who say, "You go, girl. That's how you do it. You tell him." And I thought, you don't know my God. You don't know the love that He has. Now, I know it was just a movie, but I know that there's a lot of women today who don't know God, and they need to so badly. They see God as the villain. And He is such a wonderful, loving, and powerful God to hear our prayers. And Hannah chose not to lash out, but rather she went to God in prayer with her pain. I love the prayer that she prayed. She said, "Lord Almighty, remember your servant. Look upon my misery and remember me. And grant me a son. Do not forget your servant." You know, I use that prayer a lot since I've read it. It isn't to get a child. But moms, you can use that. "Look upon my condition. Look upon my situation, Lord. Don't forget me. Remember me." God hears your prayers. He knows your love and He knows your struggles and He listens and He will hear you. I asked my wife, well, Hannah could have stopped there. Hannah could have stopped right there and it would have been enough. But I think Hannah had had enough. And Hannah went one step further and she made a promise to God. She said, "If you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. And he will be devoted to God in the service of the Lord all the days of his life." I asked my wife what was so special in this section about being, from a woman's perspective, about being a mother in prayer. And she said to me, a lot of women pray for their children, but not as many pray unselfishly. She said, most women pray that their children would be successful and popular and healthy and good-looking and do well in the world. But every Christian mother is, as a servant of God, like Hannah, is called to give their children back into God's hands. Their prayers become unselfish. And rather than devoting their prayers to their relationship to draw them to the mother, mothers of faith want their children to be drawn to God. That God will have you first in their life. That God's involvement and grace will be upon their child. And that they will love their children and their children will love them. But God will be in Jesus Christ, number one. The scripture says that Eli blessed Hannah. He saw her praying there. I have to add this. He saw her praying there, and she was just praying with her. She wasn't praying out loud, but she was standing there, and she was kind of mouthing. And he thought she was drunk, which must have, why he would assume that, I don't know. But he thought she was drunk and whatever. And he said, what are you doing here drinking this time, you know, in here? He said, put that away and become a godly woman. And she explained the truth, and they worked it out. And I thought, you know, this woman, she's provoked by her nemesis. Her husband doesn't understand her. Now she's in church and the pastor comes up and says, what's wrong with you anyway? This woman can't catch a break. But at the end, Eli blessed her and he said, may the Lord grant your petition. And she went away. It says that she went away and ate something and her face was no longer downcast. And I asked my wife, okay, again, I know what I got my thoughts, but from a woman's perspective, why was she no longer downcast? And she said, because for the first time in years, someone blessed her. Someone said, and it was the priest, I hear your prayer. I hear you. Be blessed. And she knew that God had heard her prayer by faith. Mothers of faith are women of unselfish prayer. Thirdly, but not least, mothers of faith are women of sacrifice. There was a teacher who was trying to teach fractions to her class, and she said, okay, Tommy, she goes, let's say your mother just made a pie, and there are six people in your family. What percent of the pie would each person get? Now, of course, she wanted to hear 1/6. But Tommy immediately said, 1/5. He said, 1/5. She kind of shook her head and she said, Tommy, how did you come up with that answer? He said, well, when it comes to desserts, my mother's always afraid we won't get it, our share, so she always says she's not hungry. So the rest of us get it. If we were to solicit right now the times that our mothers here today said, I'm not hungry, you go ahead, that they gave up their share, gave up their right on behalf of their family and their children, we'd probably be here till late tonight, because I think that's almost inherent in a mother. They do it, I think, without thinking most of the time. Well, the Lord answered Hannah's prayer. And she gave birth to a child, and she called him Samuel, which means heard of God. And Samuel, as you know, was a very important player in Israel's history, but we're not going to talk about that right now. That's for another day and another message. What intrigued me here is that at this juncture, there's a very critical part. She has the child, and it would have been so easy for her to renege on her vow. It's easy to say, Lord, I know what I said. You know, thank you for this child. Praise you, Lord. And I know what I said. But you know, I was really upset at the time, and I really didn't know what I was saying. I was just so distraught. And you don't really expect me to give up the child, do you? Have you ever made a promise to God in a moment of despair or desperation, and the Lord answered your prayer, and then later on, you're like, Lord, I really don't want to do that. And you reneged on your promise. I have, more than once, especially when I was younger. I promise I'll do this if you do this. And he did, and I didn't. And I missed an opportunity. It was my loss. I've come to believe that the difference between bargaining with God and making a promise to him is in our intentions. How serious am I when I make the vow? Am I just bargaining with God and trying to get him to do what I want? Or am I making a promise to saying, yes, I will do this thing? Hannah made a promise that she never for a minute intended not to fulfill. She weaned her child, and she poured herself into him for what would have been about 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, she took him up to the temple, and she said to the priest, Eli, I have prayed for this child, and the Lord has heard my prayer. And now I give him to the Lord, and all the days of his life he will be in service to God. Now this went beyond the Levitical demand, because they actually had a retirement of after so many years. They were into forced retirement. So she was going beyond just saying, we're going to let him work in the church. And she committed him to God all the days of his life. Rather than going away sadly, I had to do this thing, and why did he make me do this? She went away, and she went away rejoicing in God. She went away rejoicing. And she, in the reading that we had this morning, was her prayer. I rejoice in the Lord my God, for I have given him into the hands of the Lord who answered my prayer. My wife has always loved her children passionately. But there was a period of time where the relationship with her son and daughter, it just fell apart completely. And after a heated argument one night, her daughter called her dad. My stepdaughter called her dad, and she said, come pick me up. And we watched her drive away into the night to live with her dad. And I hunted around for my wife, and a little while, we were on a farm at the time, and I found her on top of a silo about 25 feet in the air. She climbed up the ladder and just sitting on top of the silo, just looking off into the darkness and praying, and talking to God. So I let her alone. Later, we were talking when she was ready. She told me very succinctly, I have to let my children go. She said, I have to give them back to God. Now, she did. And she still does to this day. She's never tried to take them back. She loves them even more, I think, now than she did then. But she told her at the time, admittedly, she said, I did this with tremendous reservation. Letting go was the hardest decision I ever had to make in my life. But it was the best decision I probably ever made in my life, to give them over to God. The details beyond that are of little value. But it's enough to say that both her children today have come back to her. One lives a mile from us one direction, one lives a mile from the other direction. Their relationship is as close as any mother and children could have. We have 16 grandkids, one on the way. And the children, her children, have come back to the Lord as well. Went through some rough times, but they've come back to God. My wife knows it is the gift of God in answer to her prayer that came out of a willing, however difficult, sacrifice. Mothers of faith are women of willing and godly sacrifice. Mothers of faith are women of faithful endurance, unselfish prayer, and godly sacrifice. And you mothers who have been called and granted and have willingly accepted that gift and that burden of responsibility to seek Christ, in Christ, to raise children who believe in an unbelieving world, we salute you. We honor you, we embrace you, and we lift you up today and say thank you. But above that, we give glory to God and we praise Him for His grace in giving you to us. May you all have a very happy and very God-blessed Mother's Day.